From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences his fourth message in a series of studies in the book of Acts, entitled The Presence and Promise of Christ. This message centers around the Savior's promise of the Holy Spirit, as well as of the assurance of his second coming. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection known as Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled His Service, Face, and Name. The text is Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Three choice blessings will be ours in the glory land. His servants shall serve him. No other lords shall oppress us. No other service shall distress us. We shall serve Jesus always, perfectly, without weariness and without error. This is heaven to a saint, in all things to serve the Lord Christ, and to be owned by him as his servant is our soul's high ambition for eternity. And they shall see his face. This makes the service delightful. Indeed, it is the present reward of service. We shall know our Lord, for we shall see him as he is. To see the face of Jesus is the utmost favor that the most faithful servant of the Lord can ask. What more could Moses ask than, Let me see thy face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. They gaze upon their Lord till his name is photographed upon their brows. They are acknowledged by him, and they acknowledge him. The secret mark of inward grace develops into the public sign manual of confessed relationship. O Lord, give us these three things in their beginnings here, that we may possess them in their fullness in thine own abode of bliss.
Moved high, the cross of Calvary, the cross on which the Savior bled and died. Lift high the cross of victory, for the price is paid and man is justified. Alleluia, praise the Son of God. Alleluia, praise his name. Lift high the Christ of Calvary, for yesterday, today, forever, he's the same. For God so loved the Son, that man through Jesus' life be saved. Alleluia! Praise the Lord, the victory was won. Lift high the cross of Calvary, the cross on which the Savior bled and died. Lift high the cross of victory, for the price was paid and man is justified. Hallelujah, praise the Son of God. Hallelujah, praise his name. Lift high the Christ of Calvary, for yesterday, today, forever, he's the same. Lift high the cross of Calvary, the cross on which the Savior bled and died. Lift high the cross of Christ.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled The Presence and Promise of Christ, dealing with verses 4 through 11 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts. In this passage, the Lord Jesus continued to prepare the apostles for their ministry by reminding them of two essential truths. The first was the promise of the Holy Spirit to give them power for service. Then Christ encouraged them by reminding them of His second coming. Though the work before them would be difficult and filled with opposition, the Spirit's presence would enable them to be victorious, and the prospect of the Savior's return in glory would give them joy. Now here is Dr. Cairns to bring the opening portion of The Presence and Promise of Christ.
We're reading this morning in the book of Acts, chapter 1, from verse 4 through to verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Since you'll notice we're breaking into the middle of a sentence to get the complete sense, after the first comma, we have got to insert the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, They asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And the Lord will add his own blessing to these familiar verses from his own precious word for his name's sake. To refresh your minds, your memories, you will recollect, I trust, that we're in the introductory passage to the book of Acts, the first 11 verses we can take as the introduction to the book. The introduction itself has three great main themes. The first, right at the very beginning of the chapter, deals with the deeds and doctrines of Christ. And then, as we went on to study, we came to the thought of the instructions and the infallible proofs of Christ. Now we come to the third section in the introduction, which deals with the presence and the promise of Christ. You will see his presence being assembled together with them, and the promise, called here the promise of the Father, which saith, He ye have heard of me. And he gives us details of that in the following verse, the baptism with or in the Holy Ghost. Now we're coming to deal with this passage then. And you'll see that we are pulling up our socks and getting on with the job. We have been dealing one verse at a time so far, more or less. Well, now we come to deal with the section, verse 4 through to verse 11. You will notice immediately that this passage of Scripture begins and ends with a tremendous promise. It begins in verse 4 with the promise of the Father concerning the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 11 it finishes with the promise of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. So it starts with the promise of the coming of the Spirit, and it ends with the promise of the coming of the Savior. Now, these are two vitally important subjects. And I want to stress their importance right at the very beginning of our study this morning. Every Christian should understand the importance and the significance of these two tremendous promises. Because they're so important, it's not to be wondered at that the devil has tried to shroud both of them in such bitter controversy as to make them unintelligible to the people of God, largely, and to rob most Christians of the victorious application of these truths to their lives. What is the doctrine of the baptism in the Holy Ghost today, but mostly a matter of controversy in the people of God? What is the doctrine of the second coming of Christ today? I hesitate to answer that question, because on the one hand it has become a matter of controversy, on the other hand it has become a matter almost of fairy tale land to so many Christians. Reverend John Douglas once pointed out, and caused some shock in this pulpit when he did point out, that for most Christians, the doctrine of the second coming is not taken from the Bible at all, but it is a doctrine that is based on two novels written by one called Sidney Watson. That's a strange and hurtful thing. Oh, how bitter the controversy. How terrible the loss to the people of God when two great promises given for our edification are so robbed of their value and victory in the lives of God's people. Now, because there's so much controversy surrounding them, what I want to do this morning, I really want to get to preach in verse 8, for it's the key to the whole book and indeed to the whole section we've been reading this morning. But what I want to do is take each promise and just deal with it absolutely clearly and simply and in the language which the Scripture here gives to us. Let's think first of the promise of the Spirit. Now notice carefully the words that are used. We are directed to think first of the company, being assembled together with them. Most Bibles with marginal references will have a marginal reference saying eating together with them. That's one of those unfortunate marginal references, I think, that would be better not there, because it means what our authorized version translators have given us in the text, and later editors would have been better not to put in that reference. It is being assembled together with them. This was a time of blessed fellowship. And it's interesting that it was in a time of blessed, close, continual fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ that the disciples received the promise of the Holy Ghost. My friend, let me say this. This book is replete with precious promises. There's a little chorus which says, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Nonsense. Total, utter nonsense. There are so many Christians and they think there are so many promises here, therefore I can just come and I can almost pick them out at random and I can say, God has told me this, that, and the other thing. I say this to you, I believe in the promises of God, but I believe that it is only as God's people are in vital communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is only as our eyes by faith are trained on Him that the promises of the Lord are sealed to our hearts. The promises of God are no empty mechanical things. It's not just a matter, they're written in the Bible, and therefore we are going to know the fulfillment of every one of them in our daily life. And I know that as far as salvation, etc., and the covenant of grace is concerned, the promise is absolutely unconditional. But in our daily life, to enjoy the application of any promise, we must be in this company, assembled together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a personal question. How long is it since you really personally met with the Lord? How long is it since you really personally felt the warmth of the Lord's presence? That you really knew you had looked by faith upon the Lord's face? Now, I'm not asking you when you last read the Bible, although that may be a very pertinent question for many professing Christians. I'm not asking you when last you bowed in prayer. I'm asking you when last the mechanical attitude to the things of God was put away by God and you were really wrapped up in the presence of the Lord. When last did you really, honestly hold vital communion with God? That's a question. My friend, let me tell you, you will never, never have the promises of grace sealed to your heart unless it be in the presence of the risen Christ, unless you're really in fellowship with Him. Then after directing our attention to the company, our attention is directed to the command which the Lord Jesus gave. He said, and this parallels with Luke chapter 24, that they were not to depart from Jerusalem, but they were to wait. And the thought is, wait there. Or as Luke 24 puts it, tarry in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, Or as Luke puts it in that 24th chapter, until they be endued with power from on high. That was the command. Now it's easy to read it. I wonder, did you ever stop to think that that was a command that was totally against every natural inclination? These, first of all, were men from Galilee. They were not from Jerusalem. Secondly, they were in the city where they wouldn't naturally want to be at that particular time. They may want to come up for the Feast of Pentecost, but they wouldn't want to wait there because that was the place of their failure. Every one of them had forsaken the Lord there. Every one of them, when he looked at the city of Jerusalem, remembered his own abject failure at the time of the Lord's great persecution and then crucifixion. They also, of course, didn't want to be there because it was the place of bitter opposition. The devil was in control there. The devil's party were riding on the crest of the wave. They had crucified the Lord Jesus, and they were certainly just as full of hatred to all who named his name. And yet the Lord Jesus says, don't just go up to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, but tarry there, stay there. In other words, if God's people are going to get the power and the fire of God upon their lives, first of all, they have got to stay, even though the will of the flesh is against it. Self-will has got to die. They have got to stay in the place where they're going to be humbled to see their failure and their abject nothingness. They're going to have to face the anger of the devil and the devil's crowd and realize that the Lord is on the throne. He says, tarry there. An awful lot of Christians would like to come up for the day of Pentecost. They would like to come up for the moment of blessing. An awful lot of Christians want to appear on the scene at the very time when revival breaks. But that is not the will of God for us. He says, tarry in the interim period. Get in there and wait there and pray there and go through with God there. And have your old self-will broken there and get filled with the Holy Ghost there. And then you'll have revival. Oh, for a people who are willing to obey that command and tarry in Jerusalem, broken at the feet of the Lord Jesus, until he comes with power through his Spirit. And then you'll notice the covenant. Here we come to the part which is so controverted. The promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. Now what's the meaning of this promise of the Father? Well, now I want you to stick with me very closely here, because I think you'll be able to cut through the undergrowth of so much conflicting theological and doctrinal teaching if you stay with the plain, straight, simple language of Scripture. We ought never to be afraid of what the Word of God teaches. Now, let me set this out for a starter, that the subsequent references give us the details of the meaning of the promise of the Father. Let me put it another way. The fulfillment of the promise illuminates for us the meaning of the promise, so that when we see the Lord fulfilling it, we can see exactly what he meant by the promise. I think that stands to common sense. Now then, what is this promise? Well, it's called the promise of the Father, verse 4, but it's explained in verse 5 as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. That baptism of the Spirit is spoken of in verse 8 as the Spirit coming upon them. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So it's the Spirit coming upon them. In chapter 2 and verse 4, we find the fulfillment of the promise. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So the promise then means being filled with the Holy Ghost. If you turn over in the book of Acts to chapter 10 and verse 45, and just also put your finger in chapter 11 and verse 16, because I'm saying that so that you realize that the language of chapter 10:45 is reported by Peter in chapter 11, verse 16, And chapter 11, verse 16 speaks of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. But chapter 10, verse 45 puts it in this language. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what is this gift of the Holy Ghost, this baptism with the Holy Ghost, this Spirit coming upon them? What is this being filled with the Holy Ghost? It is the pouring out of the Holy Ghost upon them. Or to use the words of chapter 11 and verse 15, it is the Holy Spirit falling upon His people. Now all those terms, while they may have different shades of significance, they all describe the one great truth. And that is the principle that I want to lay before you. Just staying in the book of Acts. Luke in chapter 24 wraps it all up when he speaks of this as being endued with power from on high. Now then, I think with these terms before us, we can begin to understand what the promise is and what this baptism with or in the Holy Ghost is.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.